That's David, weird.
Dave and Doreen along with Marcus.
That's a random day in March.
I know, right? It's like football, the Packer fight song.
Yeah.
What is going on? Well, what's going on is the Packers are reshaping their roster. So we need some expert insight, and that's when we turn to our green and gold insider, Jason Wilde, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, co-host of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, good morning. How you doing?
I feel like one of those wrestlers. I know Marcus knows more about this than I do, but isn't there like this dramatic moment where they say, that's Jason Wilde's music?
Yeah, that's about
Wait
what it minute. Sounds like.
Wait a minute. Well, thank you for joining us. And is it an overstatement? Is it hyperbole to say that since the signing of Reggie White, that yesterday was the biggest free agent day in Packer history?
Yeah, probably. But it was significant. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
In terms of comings and goings. You know, there were basically seven players involved in various transactions, right? The Packers sign Xavier McKinney, who is going to be their kind of defensive leader at safety, which is safety is an extremely important position in new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley's system. So that was a must. That was clearly their biggest priority, was to get him. Then they also signed Josh Jacobs, the running back from the Raiders, who led the NFL in rushing 2 years ago, is 3 years younger than Aaron Jones, and will be their featured back. Then there's the departures. Mm-hmm. David Bakhtiari, we knew, was coming. It was just a matter of when, not if. The Aaron Jones one, I'll be honest, for the period right after Josh Jacobs' news broke, I thought they were going to have that as a tandem.
So
and when the general manager on February 1st tells us that he will absolutely be back, and then 5 weeks later he is being released, that's the one that is not only surprising to me, but head-scratching. And then the other moves they made, we knew Darnell Savage was most likely going to be playing elsewhere. He had landed in Jacksonville. We knew John Runyon, who was having to share time down the stretch of the season at right guard, was likely going to sign elsewhere. He did with the New York Giants. And then they brought back Tyler Davis, who was someone they were really excited about at tight end, and he tore his ACL in a preseason game last summer. So that's the rundown of the moves, but as much as they need Xavier McKinney and as much as an important signing as that is, and as good of a player as Josh Jacobs, again, who led the NFL in rushing 2 years ago, is the Aaron Jones piece to me is the one that really jumps out. Mm-hmm. And now there's news that he's going to sign with the Vikings.
Ooh.
Which means that we will see him twice a year.
Oh.
And he was so important in that locker room filled with young players that there's part of me that wonders if that part was undervalued.
Yeah, so how do they explain that? When do we hear the explanation on that? Like, how do you let the heart and soul of the team go and not have some consequence from us, the owners, right? Right? We're the owners.
Yeah.
True. And you use the phrase that Matt LaFleur used to describe him, and Doody talked about him this way as well. Like, to call a guy the heart and soul of your team, and then to ask him, according to The Athletic, to take a 50% pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to make $13 million this year. And by the way, look, fans can feel however they want to feel about all kinds of things. I'm not here to tell them that. But I do not want to hear fans complain when guys get large contracts and we think that they may have been overpaid, because unlike the NBA, unlike Major League Baseball, these contracts are not guaranteed. And so you get some guaranteed money in them. But Aaron Jones signed a four-year, $48 million deal and was going into the last year of his deal. His pay for 2024 was supposed to be $13 million. So when a player holds out, I hope people will remember that these are one-way contracts. And the Packers cut Aaron Jones because he did not want to take a pay cut from the $13 million they were scheduled to pay him, that when they signed the contract, they had agreed to pay him and wanted him to take a 50% or more pay cut off of that. I don't want to hear about, hey, this guy's holding out for more money. Well, that's because he's probably not going to get to the end of his contract, and he's just trying to get as much as he can before he's unceremoniously dumped.
So, I always say it's not like the billionaires are going to donate the rest of the money to charity.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? These guys are in the arena essentially ruining their bodies and in many cases their minds
yeah.
for the entertainment of America and the rest of the world. And the owners, I mean, yeah, they make a ton of money. So the players, I mean, it should trickle down to them, and I totally agree. Although some of the money is guaranteed, as you mentioned, more than others, depending on who you are. Red Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, most of that money is guaranteed. Were you surprised that he signed with the Falcons? And also Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Were those the most surprising things?
Yeah, the Saquon Barkley thing is kind of like the heavier version of Aaron Jones landing in Minnesota potentially. Like, he's going to face the Giants twice a year. I saw he traded some harsh words with Tiki Barber, yeah. the former running back for the Giants, who's a radio host out there now. Look, I get it. Running back has been devalued. We've been talking about it for years. That continues to be the case. But what's weird about it is you still want guys that can run the football for you. And if you think you can find cheaper alternatives, you tend to try and do that. But they are treated as disposable players. And Aaron Jones is Exhibit A. But all those guys that moved, like the Raiders, saw Josh Jacobs as easily replaceable and disposable. The Giants, the same way with Saquon Barkley. So that, you know, the Cowboys refused to pay Tony Pollard, who moved on, right? And so that position is just, it is what it is there. The Kirk Cousins thing, I'll say this, I don't know how great of a player Kirk Cousins is. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer by any means, but he belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame of business. I mean, mm-hmm. he has managed, I saw a stat yesterday, he has had 11 straight years where he has been paid guaranteed money in those seasons.
Wow. Mm.
And that is, it illustrates the point of how rare that is a significant thing. You would never hear that about a baseball or basketball player because they're all guaranteed.
Right.
So I don't know how good he'll be in Atlanta. It's going to be really interesting to watch, but I was talking to Marcus about this off the air. Like, I'm not really sure what the Vikings are doing. You know, they didn't. I understand them not wanting to pay Kirk Cousins, but who are they going to have to play quarterback?
Sam Darnold.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, they signed Sam Darnold. That's the answer.
Oh, man.
I mean, that tells you everything. You know, maybe they can get Zach Wilson, too. They can just collect former high first-round picks and have them all be mediocre for them at the same time.
So do you get a sense that Goody has made this big splash on day one and we're done? Or do you see more free agent signings coming along the way?
No, I think there's some more that'll be coming that won't be quite as splashy. And look, it's really interesting because obviously with Aaron Rodgers the last couple of years, they had taken money on guys' contracts and pushed it up out into the future, which is something they don't really like to do because it puts you in some challenging cap spots going forward. But this is the most he's done since the first day of free agency in 2019, which was his second year as the GM when they signed Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, and Billy Turner all on the first day. And so he was busy, and he was busy then too. I just think this is different because it entailed two guys that were starters last year signing elsewhere, two guys that are face of the franchise level type players being released, and then two significant signings at two critical positions. So it was a crazy day. It was definitely a whirlwind. But I do think that they still need another safety. And I think there's probably some bargains to be had as we go through the next several days that they can get another guy to pair with Xavier McKinney and remake a position that Jeff Hafley thinks is really, really important.
Did you know that Matt LaFleur and Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, were such good friends?
Yeah.
That was kind of shocking to see them
hanging out at
the game together.
Yeah, so somebody, because I made a big deal out of it too, you know, that they were sharing popcorn like Lady and the Tramp with spaghetti. But it turned out they weren't sitting together.
Oh, okay.
They were there independently of each other.
Oh.
Eberflus's daughter is, I don't know if she goes to Marquette or she's
probably
thinking about going to Marquette. Yeah. They were sitting in the same area, but they sat together and talked during warm-up. So the photo was a little misleading, but you know, I thought it was really, I was really happy with people after that, because Tosh and I posted a poll asking if this bothered you as a Packers fan. Mm. And it was like 92% no. And I thought, boy, when I was a kid going to games at County Stadium, and Forrest Gregg and Mike Ditka are punching each other.
Right.
That was like, we hate the Bears hate us. Like, that was the mentality back then. And for the two of those guys to be, I liked it better when I thought they sat together through the whole game and were sharing nachos.
Yeah.
But I thought that was, I was glad to see that people thought, all right, we can be rivals and want to beat each other at the game we coach, and still be able to sit next to each other at a college basketball
game. Sure, as long as they're not sharing company secrets. Like,
wow. So basically what you're saying is maybe the worm has turned, and it might start with two coaches in the NFL where people realize
we can all just get along.
We can all just get along at some basic level.
Yeah, either that or it's the fact that Matt LaFleur is 10-0 against the Bears.
Yeah.
Right.
He just used them as nothing, so he doesn't really have to worry about it.
That's a very good point. Well, Jason, thank you for the insight. We appreciate it. And, you know, I'm sure that this is probably not over. If Goody gets aggressive and we need more insight from you, my friend, we will be calling. Thank you.
You've got my number and you've got my music. All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
You too.
See
Jason Wilde, our Green and Gold Insider, co-host of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, and a member of the Morning KLH.